Welcome to the Equine Energy Medicine Podcast with your host, Audrey McLaughlin.
So today we're going to talk about spring maintenance. This is episode 42 of the Equine Energy Medicine Podcast. And if this is your first time listening, welcome. I'm your host, Audrey. I'm an equine naturopath, nutritionist, and energy medicine practitioner. So spring seems to have sprung, at least in my neck of the woods. Given this is my first spring on the Gulf Coast, I don't actually know if this is real spring or false spring like we used to have up in North Texas. In North Texas, we'd have a flash of warmer temperatures and sunshine and all the things, and then we would go sometime around Easter right back into really cold weather. I'm not sure if this is it here, but it's been hanging on for a while. Regardless, it's time to start looking towards spring maintenance and what that means for your horse or your herd. So a lot of times, spring is a time of spring grass worries, annual vet checkups, getting horses back into shape and conditioning. This is going to be a lot to cover in a single episode, but we're going to push to get to it all. So first things first, when the first signs of spring start to happen, right, we see that green grass start to sprout. And so this can be problematic for horses who aren't in a ton of work, who are kept fat all winter, right? I hear that a lot with clients. They're like, oh, I like to keep them fat through the winter. Well, I am not a fan of letting horses get emaciated during the winter by any means. We have to understand that in their natural environment, right, evolutionarily, horses are meant to drop some weight in the winter, which allows for more flexibility metabolically with spring grasses. Now, in modern horse keeping, we keep our horses fat and happy all winter, putting a heavier burden on the metabolic regulation when that spring grass starts to appear. So what do we do? So let's make sure that we're introducing our horses slowly out on spring pastures. Allow them to acclimate slowly. Now, if your horse is pasture kept all the time, sometimes this is less of a problem for them because they are naturally rolling in as that spring grass comes up and then the frost kills it and then it comes up. And so they kind of naturally get slowly acclimated with this. This is by no means a perfect pattern, meaning it's not going to happen for every horse that's pasture kept, and there are a lot of variables at play there. So your best bet is to slowly introduce them on spring pastures. So if you can, start with 1, maybe 3 hours a day, and then increase incrementally every other day. So if you started out for 3 hours the first day, then a couple days later, you might let them go out for 4 or 5 hours. And a couple days later, you might let them go out for 6 or 7 hours. Assuming that they're not having any issues, then you can then allow them to, you know, be out there for the entire grazing period. If you can, delay grazing on a pasture until the grass growth is around that 6 to 8 inch mark. That's optimal for the horse and frankly for the health of the pasture. And then if you can, rotate out of grazing pastures when they're grazed down to 3 to 4 inches and then move them to another lot until that grass returns to 6 to 8 inches. If you can have a sacrifice lot or a paddock, you can limit your horse's turnout time by rotating them into that sacrifice lot. It'll help to prevent pasture damage. It helps to prevent pasture damage during wet and muddy conditions. Now, granted, we don't all have room for all of these pastures and lots and sacrifice lots and all of that. So get creative and do what you do to make do what you can do to ensure that your horse doesn't overindulge on those rich new spring grasses. Try to maintain your pasture health and continue to allow your horse to have appropriate movement. Okay, so spring vet checks. Now, it might surprise you to know that I'm not against spring vet checkups. I think having an important relationship or having a good relationship with your vet is important. But I do want to make sure that you advocate for your horse and that you are not pressured into accepting any unnecessary treatments or procedures, no matter how small they might seem. So here's what I typically recommend in the spring. Go ahead and have your physical lameness and neuro exam, particularly if your horse does something other than sit in the pasture, right? Go ahead and get your Coggins because you're going to need that, especially if you're traveling to arenas or shows or any of those kind of things. Now, with vaccines, a lot of times people get all the vaccines in the springtime. Here's what I would say, a couple caveats. Number one, if your horse has never had any vaccines, then it might be prudent to get some vaccines. Although I will say I have lots of people in lots of situations that don't vaccinate their horses and do just fine. And again, I'm not against vaccinating horses. I just am against doing the same set of vaccination year over year because even the veterinarian associations have determined that that's just not necessary. And that practice of not continuing to inoculate horses year over year because of the side effects that can happen, started out with holistic vets and has actually moved into that mainstream vet market now. So that's number one. And then number two, only do what's required in your discipline or when there, if there's a real threat in your area. So all these extra things, just those aren't even needed. The other thing to consider is if your vet comes out and wants to do a whole bunch of combination vaccines, then my suggestion is to spread those out quite a bit and allow your horse time to recover in between. A lot of people recommend that you discuss your horse's diet with your vet. Totally can. I personally don't recommend that. There are some really good vets that understand nutrition science and understand, have done a lot of continuing education in that field. If the vet has not done continuing education in that field, they are simply untrained in true nutrition science, and they typically will recommend whomever is on their jacket, whatever sales rep saw them last. And it's not a knock against vets. Again, you know, I think vets are critical. I think acute care medicine for horses and other animals is absolutely critical. But where we have that big gap is in that nutrition knowledge. And so sometimes it's best to hand that off. Any lab work a vet recommends, I say totally go for it. Just a reminder that there are seasonal elevations for certain labs. So making sure that you have a series of high or low results before we do any major interventions is also important, unless, of course, that lab level is at a severely acute level, of course. The next thing I recommend is to do a minerals, metals, and main test. So particularly if you're looking to tune up performance, assess diet and supplementation, that is the best, well, the gold standard is a liver biopsy, but I wouldn't recommend that, but it's the second best, let's say, way to assess diet and nutrition status. The third thing is hoof care. Now, if you tell me that you haven't done any hoof care in the off season during the winter months on your horse, I'm going to wag my finger at you and say you should still be getting hoof care very routinely during the entire winter. Okay. Now that that's out of the way, time to catch up. So watching for things, you know, like hoof cracks and frog sloughing and thrush and white Lyme disease, and abscesses, all of those things are really important. But getting back into that routine hoof care, both what you do and what your farrier does is really, really important. It almost becomes more important in the damp conditions of spring. I know here on the Gulf Coast, it's much more damp and humid climate all the time compared to where my horses have been up in North Texas on the plains, right? And so personally, we've been struggling with a little extra moisture. So talking to both my previous therapeutic farrier and my new farrier that we just tried out last time, it takes about a year to for their feet to acclimate. So we're taking a lot of precautions like using pure mud and other solutions and protective barriers, even when we know that there's going to be 7 or 8 days worth of rain. Fly fighting. That's another one for spring, right? Man, while I love springtime, flies and mosquitoes are not part of what I love about springtime. They carry disease and bacteria. They can be significant stressors for horses and you, right? So don't wait for those flies to be a problem around your barn. Make sure you get your fly gear if that's what you want to use. Check its condition. Make sure it's ready when the horses need it. Stock up on your preferred fly repellents. Make sure you're reading the labels. And try to find things that are as natural as possible. I'm going to do an entire episode on fly strategies. However, let me just state this up front. Do not use feed through fly control. So things like SimpliFly, that is an absolute no. We're not going to feed internal pesticides to our horse, okay? To think that that doesn't have side effects is just absurd, right? It's just absurd. So do not use feed through fly control or feed product supplements with that kind of feed through fly control in it. Look for natural ways of feed through fly control. There's things like garlic. There's things like black cumin seed. Like I said, I'll go through all of that. That's coming up in episode 43, I believe. Actually, episode 44. Episode 43 will be about the paddock blade, which is another way to maintain pastures, horse health, and feed through or and fly control. The next thing, begin to evaluate body condition and setting goals. So start taking your weekly pictures if you haven't been doing that through the winter so that you can make sure that as you're adding work to your horse, you're increasing that nutrition as needed. And often visual signs can be the first signs that something isn't quite right in the diet. So what do I mean by that? So as they get more sunshine in the spring, if their coats are fading to, you know, those reddish colors and getting that copper tinge to it, if a black horse is looking like teddy bear brown, those are signs that there might be too much iron. There might not be enough copper and zinc. If there is a fading top line, what can we do about that? You know, if we can see, if we're nice and muscular, but we can see some ribs, what can we do about that? So these are things to evaluate and to take in consideration when you're planning out what you're going to feed during the spring. Keep in mind that the modern convenience of concentrated packaged feed products is just that convenient. But what you're trading for that, number one, it probably is costing you more, but what you're trading for that is your horse's health, right? So, you know, really set your goals and determine what is most important to me. A little bit of convenience of only having to open one bag or my horse's health. And then the last thing, get a body worker out or set a goal for yourself to start to learn to DIY it. One particular helpful tool that I find is kinesiology tape or KT tape while legging horses up after a winter off. And so you can do a basic star pattern over the SI joint. That tape will stay on usually for at least a week, depending on your conditions. I usually get 2 weeks out of it, but right now in shedding season, it's lasting about a week just because the hair is coming off in leaps and bounds. It looks like a furry critter met its demise in the pasture when I find tape out there. So hopefully those are some things to add to your list to think about. Again, this is not instructional information. I just want you to think a little bit differently about how you approach your spring routine. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out. You can find me in all the normal places. It'll be linked in the show notes below, including one-on-one appointment information and group classes. I hope to see you in the next episode. Like I said, we'll be talking about paddock blade next. And then the episode after that is about fly strategies. See you then.
Thanks for listening to the Equine Energy Medicine Podcast. Ratings and reviews are always appreciated. We'll catch you in the next episode.